What bizarre killer stalks the grim manor of Stoke Moran?
I am not a safe man to play with, Mr. Holmes.
My eye is on you, and the Lord help you if I catch you tripping.
Who is the psychotic villain who comes to Baker Street to confront Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson? Quicksilver Radio Theater returns to WBAI to present Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's terrifying story, The Speckled Band, part of the Golden Age of Radio's Halloween Spectacular, Sunday, October 31st at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM and on the web at WBAIfree.org, courtesy of Chorus.com.
Watson, come on and have your pistol ready.
To broadcast premieres on the Golden Age of Radio, Halloween night, 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it.
Don't you dare miss it. It's 1 minute to midnight in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade.
Now when I was born, it was such a fright. I looked in the mirror, I saw his wife. My skin, it was pink, my eyes, they were blue, my hair was blonde, damn, what can I do?
Why, tribal music.
So I put on a robe, I put on a turban, but they said, man, you're just white and suburban. So I got me a book, to learn how to dance, and said, if you white, you ain't get a chance.
Why, tribal music.
They can hear the steps, though. He told me my problem was not uncommon. I talked to a Hindu, I talked to a Buddhist, I talked to a Sufi, I talked to a nudist.
White
tribal music. Then up jump an African witch doc. He said, what you need is to turn back the clock. You never know by looking at Ronald Reagan that a long time ago y'all used to be pagan.
White tribal music.
Say, get a step slow.
White tribal, white tribal.
Woo!
night. Welcome aboard to the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I'm Bill Weinberg at the controls, flying solo tonight. And Marie will be back next week. And we were just hearing White Tribal Music from Daryl Cherney, the songster of the Redwoods, a displaced Jew from New York, by the way, out there in Ecotopia in Northern California. And that's the title song from his new album, White Tribal Music, which is available from Churn It Up Records. And I'm sure that the address is in here somewhere. I'll try to find it. And of course, that song is facetiously dedicated to those visitors from out of town that we had at Foley Square on Saturday. Those guys with the big white dunce caps on, which is what maybe we're going to talk about tonight after I get through some announcements on various related themes. Last time I'm going to be able to announce this, but time's up. Halloween Ride, which is going to be this this Friday, right? You know, actually, that's what they did leave off of the of the announcement, the date. But I'm pretty sure it's Friday. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Friday. Ride with us through Central Park's spookiest places for the Halloween Moonlight Ride. Wear a costume. Immediately following the Moonlight Ride is a critical mass ride through Times Square and down to a party in the East Village. Meet 10 o'clock p.m. at Columbus Circle for the Moonlight Ride. 11 p.m. at Columbus Circle, back at Columbus Circle, for the critical mass ride. Columbus Circle is at 59th Street and Broadway, they tell us. We already know that. What we don't know is the date, which they fail to tell us. Right on, guys. Really on the ball there. But it's Friday. I'm pretty sure it's Friday. And the party is going to be at ABC No Rio, 156 Rivington Street, and the ride will arrive there at around midnight. And the party is sponsored by Sandbox Magazine, and their latest issue, and the party, is all about reclaiming public space. And there will be limited bicycle parking in the basement. So for more information, call the Time's Up hotline at 212-802-8222. That's 802-8222. And you can tell them that whoever is doing their email announcements has got to get on the ball and remember to include the date. Hello, guys. Okay. Then the next day, Saturday, October 30th, protest for sale of Charles El Bohío at the Brooklyn Museum of Art at 200 Eastern Parkway, just off of Grand Army Plaza. At from noon until 2 p.m. Stop the sale and eviction of our cultural centers. Like Charles El Bohío, the Brooklyn Museum has been targeted by Giuliani. Their crime? Providing artists and the public space and freedom to express themselves. Sound familiar? Charles El Bohío Cultural and Community Center is a 20-year-old institution on Manhattan's Lower East Side. Charles provides affordable space for visual performance and theater artists, community groups, as well as workshops, classes, and after-school programs. On July 20, 1999, despite widespread opposition, Charles was sold to private developer Greg L. Singer. Charles is currently fighting against the sale and eviction in federal and housing court. Stop the sale. So they want you all out noon to 2 o'clock at the Brooklyn Museum, and they suggest that after the protest, you can go and check out the sensation exhibit and see what the big sensation's all about with your own two eyes. Directions: 2 or 3 train to Eastern Parkway / Brooklyn Museum, or the 4 or 5 to Nevins and transfer. You all know how to do that. You can figure it out, right? Grand Army Plaza is the nearest. Stop, right? Okay, and then I've got right here in my hands the latest edition of World War III Illustrated. It's their special edition on war and genocide. And I haven't gotten around to reading the whole thing yet, but it all looks very, very heavy. There's a lot of cartoons by Miro Stefanovic of Serbia. One of the foremost political cartoonists in the anti-Milosevic opposition in Serbia, as well as other artists from the region, as well as some of our own local artists from New York City, and particularly the Lower East Side. Mac McGill and Towno Bilstead have got a piece on Rwanda. And me, Bill Weinberg, and my good friend Dory Wilsnack, who has been on these airways many times, have got the long-awaited update of our... this is not a graphic piece. It's the only piece in here which is text. War at the Crossroads, and Historical Guide Through the Balkan Labyrinth, which Dory and I wrote back in 93 in the midst of the whole Bosnia affair. And we have now done an updated and expanded version for World War III Illustrated, which also appears in this issue. And you'll be hearing more about this. Maybe we'll have some of the artists on the air in the weeks to come. But I'm announcing it now because there's going to be a release party for this issue of World War III Illustrated, the War and Genocide issue. And that's going to be Tuesday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at Max Fish, that bar between on Ludlow Street between Houston and, what is the next one to the south, Stanton, I believe, right? And the artist will be there, so you can meet the artists and get a copy of the ish for yourself. Once again, that's going to be Tuesday, November 9th, 2 weeks from tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. at Max Fish on Ludlow Street, just below Houston. Okay, as we've mentioned before, there, and as probably as most of our listeners are aware, there is going to be a mass nonviolent direct action to shut down the World Trade Organization when they meet in Seattle to hash out the next round of globalization regulations. That's going to be on November 30th. And I've got something right here. Come to Seattle, Festival of Resistance, for calling it, November 29th to December 3rd. 1999, Globalized Liberation, Not Corporate Power. And for more information, you can call 206, which is the Seattle area code, 632-1656. That's 206-632-1656. And this promises to be, as our guest Andy Zimmerman said on the last show, this promises to be, you know, potentially the biggest protest in a city in the United States, and most creative protest in a city in the United States, in Chicago in 1968. So please come to Seattle. What can I say? I can't tell you if I'm going to be there because I don't know yet, but I'm certainly going to be watching it very, very closely. And building towards that, here in New York City, on Thursday, October 28th, which is the day after tomorrow, there is going to be a teach-in to end corporate rule. Learn about how the World Trade Organization is destroying our lives and our planet in the name of profit, and what people from all over the world are doing to stop it. And the speakers include Ward Morehouse, author and human rights activist, president of the Council on International Public Affairs, and co-director of the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy. Doug Henwood, who is also a commentator on WBAI, and editor and publisher of Left Business Observer, and author of Wall Street, Verso, 1997. Leah Margulies, legal advisor to UNICEF and the United Nations Center on Transnational Corporations, founder of the Infant Formula Action Coalition, and the 25-year international consumer advocacy campaign known as the Nestle Boycott, and international human rights and environmental activists whose names we can't disclose at this time, I believe because they're coming from overseas and we don't know if they're going to have visas yet. But this seems like an important local event to build towards Seattle. This, again, this is about the People's Global Action Caravan, which came together to bring people from various countries all over the world, from Bangladesh, Bolivia, Canada, Germany, India, Israel, Mexico, Nepal, Nigeria, Pakistan, Panama, West Papua, to Cologne, Germany, where back in April or May or June, somewhere in there, the World Trade Organization had their last round. And now this caravan is going to be continuing to, first to New York and then cross-country to Seattle. for the next round. And I believe that there some of these people from the caravan, if they arrive in time, are going to be at this gig. So that's going to be Thursday, October 28th, 7 p.m. at NYU Main Building, room 713. That's 100 Washington Square East. And is there a contact number? Yes, there is. 529-7972. Once again, that's 212-529-7972. Teach-in to end corporate rule and protest the World Trade Organization. All right, and then finally, two anarchist-oriented events. First one is going to be the Workers' Democracy Conference Committee presents Civil War and Revolution in Spain, 1931 to 1939, with Steve Rabinowitz of Workers' Solidarity Alliance, Harry Fisher of Veterans of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, and Carl Nudelman of Workers' Democracy Conference Committee. And this is going to be at the Hudson County Community College, fourth floor. And that's just east of Kennedy Boulevard on Sip Avenue in Jersey City, New Jersey. Saturday, October 30th, 1999, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And in case you didn't catch all that and you want more information, it's 212-212, even though the event is going to be happening at out at Hudson Community College in Jersey City, 212-979-8353, which, lo and behold, is the number of the Libertarian Book Club, 979-8353. Call them for more information. October 30th Forum on Civil War and Revolution in Spain, 1931-39, or WSANY, Workers' Solidarity Alliance, New York, WSANY at hotmail.com. And finally, the next Libertarian Book Club Anarchist Forum is going to be Friday, November 12th, also with Steve Rabinowitz, I believe, Anarcho-Syndicalism, Past, Present, and Future, celebrating 15 years of the Workers' Solidarity Alliance. And that's going to be at the Brecht Forum, 122 West 27th Street, between 6th and 7th Avenues. Be there at 7:30 p.m. sharp. And I suppose this is going to be the answer to the last one we did, which was on free market libertarianism, right-wing anarchism, so to speak. This is going to be the reply of the left-wing anarchists, the anarcho-syndicalists. So November 12th, we'll have the opportunity to announce that again. And, all right, well, now I suppose, actually, that I'm going to play another tune, and then we're going to mix it up and talk about the very, very interesting events which transpired in this city over the weekend. But first, here is the Renegade Jew coming after you.
Beat ham, step into the cent. God damn, I got it made into shape. My family is paid, not from the slave trade. When I was born, they cut an inch off my dick. That's sick. Still, my body's really thin. Word to the rabbis, you hate my power. Just like the Holocaust gets me in the shower. Typical, you can suck me my lungs with that preacher full of my clock. Kick his Calvin Brunson. Grease Jim, I'll bust his chops. My style's orthodox while I'm eating bagels and lox. Unconventional renegade Jew. Psycho down with the chosen few. Not a sellout, black say Uncle Tom. Rest in peace, Gavin Cato and Rosenbaum.
The renegade Jew, the renegade Jew, the renegade Jew. He's coming after you. The renegade Jew, the renegade Jew, the renegade Jew. Now what you gonna do? The renegade Jew.
Well, that was somebody called A to the D with the Renegade Jew. Who's coming after you, so what you gonna do? Well, I've got a great deal to say about what transpired in downtown Manhattan in Foley Square on Saturday. And I was trying to figure out where to begin, so I guess I'm just going to begin by reading from the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan themselves and see what they have to say. Now, for starters, is there anybody who believes that we are actually looking at a kinder and gentler Ku Klux Klan? If one were to go by the words of one of their spokespeople who was quoted in Newsday on the 22nd of October when the whole battle was going on over whether they were going to get their permit or not. And they were apparently trying to convince the judge. Well, I'll tell you. This is a quote from Jeffrey L. Berry of Butler, Indiana, who identified himself on the stand as the National Imperial Wizard of the Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. We are a nonviolent Christian civil rights group. This is the 90s. We're supposed to help people. Rodney King said it best. Can't we all just get along? We have a constitutional right to express our views. Quote, unquote, Jeffrey L. Berry of Butler, Indiana, self-identified National Imperial Wizard of the Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Very touchy-feely. Very, you know, here we go, kindler, gentler Klan, right? So, I mean, yeah, maybe these guys aren't so bad after all, right? Maybe we should take them at their word. Well, They must think that we're pretty stupid. They must think that we're so stupid that we don't even have the ability to just log on to the internet and check out their website and see what they are really about. And now I would like to read something which has been downloaded from their website, www.americanknights.com, to wit, the platform of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, they have their own warning and disclaimer in a preamble before you actually get to their statement. And before I'm going to read that too, but before I read their disclaimer, I'm going to give a disclaimer of my own. I'm about to use language which is foul, hideous, and obnoxious. Okay? Everybody got that? So if you don't want to hear it, turn off your radio and understand these are not my views. These are the views of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, which I am presenting to you for your edification. All right, I'm reading from what I downloaded now. Warning, potentially offensive material beyond this point. AmericanKnights.com is an expression of our First Amendment right of free speech. Any of the following pages, photos, or other material contained within the website are not, I repeat, are not to be taken as a threat to anything or anyone! Exclamation point. The material supplied is not an instruction or a directive against use against anyone. However, if one does take the information provided and acts violently upon it, it is their responsibility and solely theirs. If you feel that my freedom of speech is a direct threat of your civil rights, do not enter this page. If you do enter and feel threatened, then it is your own fault, not mine. The Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan will not be held responsible for what feelings my page provokes. AmericanKnights.com is not for the immature, the meek, or the faint-hearted. If you are mature and strong-hearted, please enter now. Otherwise, close this browser now. Quote, be prepared for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The stuff inside this website is the stuff that the Jewish media and Mr. Sleaze doesn't want you to see. Bad grammar. Again, I'm quoting from them. But the white man wins again! 6 exclamation points. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Enemies from within are destroying the United States of America. An unholy coalition of anti-white, anti-Christian, liberals, socialists, feminists, homosexuals, Jews, and militant blacks have managed to seize control of our government and mass media. This gang of criminals and degenerates has declared war on the hard-working, tax-paying white citizens. White is always in caps, uppercase, as opposed to black and Jew, which they always put in the lowercase. White Americans have become second-class citizens in the country our ancestors built from nothing. The liberal dictatorship seeks to disarm us and leave us at the mercy of savage rapists and murderers. Bands of bloodthirsty criminals prowl our streets. They rape, rob, and murder with impunity. As our women and children are butchered by these subhumans, the Republicans and Democrats demand that white people remain silent and show tolerance, quote-unquote. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to keep and bear arms are all being taken away. All the mighty pillars of American democracy are being torn down by the left-wing tyrants. The American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan plan to change things for the better. We shall liberate our nation from these savage criminals and restore law and order to America. Traditional values. The liberal government and its media encourage our young children to behave like primitive savages. Homosexuality, bisexuality, transsexuals, sadomasochism, and every other type of vile perversion is applauded by the scum that control our country. The American Knights demand a return to sanity. We call for a restoration of Christian value to all walks of life. Crime. America is the most violent nation on the face of the earth. Major cities like New York, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, and Philadelphia have been all but overrun by hordes of savage criminals. The liberal government papers these subhuman pampers, I think they mean. It says papers. Spell check, guys. You know how to do a spell check? It's real easy. Well, actually, no. See, they probably did a spell check. His papers would have slipped through the spell check. Pampers v. Subhuman and attempts to disarm law-abiding citizens. The American Knights demand that our cities be liberated from these barbarians. We shall remove the killers and rapists from our streets and execute those who deserve it. Abortion. Thousands of innocent children are slaughtered each day at baby-killing centers all over the country. The government has made abortion a convenient form of birth control. The American Knights will outlaw this barbaric, satanic practice and punish the sadistic doctors who are guilty of these crimes against humanity. Gun control. The so-called gun control bills enacted by the government are nothing but anti-self-defense laws designed to disarm law-abiding white citizens. The Klan will completely restore the right of all law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms. The media. All three of our television networks are controlled by Jews. Most of our daily newspapers, magazines, and book publishing companies are owned by Jew tycoons. The Klan will smash this Jewish monopoly of our mass media. We will restore the right of free speech and open debate of political issues. Education. America's public schools, colleges, and universities have been turned into political indoctrination centers run by deprived liberals. I'm pretty sure that they mean depraved. Another one that would have slipped through the spell check. Communists and Jews in our public. White teachers and students are raped and robbed by niggers and other savages on a daily basis. The Klan will remove the criminals from the classrooms and put them behind bars where they belong. Forced busing will be outlawed. Prayer will be returned to our schools. All teachers will continue to promote anti-American doctrine. Who continue to promote anti-American doctrine will be removed and replaced by decent American patriots. Yeah, decent American patriots who use words like nigger. It's 12:30 in New York City, and you're tuned to listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. No, BAI has not been taken over by the Ku Klux Klan. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and we are reading, in case you just tuned in, disclaimer is very important here, reading the platform of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, downloaded from their website, www.americanknights.com, so that we can begin to have a discussion about who these people are, what they represent, why they came to New York City, and what the proper response is. Okay, to continue. Homosexuality. The Klan will take away all the special rights and privileges granted to homosexuals by the liberal dictatorship over the last few years. Homosexuals will no longer be permitted to adopt children or marry each other. Gay bars, gay nightclubs, and gay bathhouses will be shut down. Immigration. Millions of third world bandits enter our country illegally every year. The Republicans and Democrats do nothing to halt this massive invasion. America is being transformed into a new Mexico. The American Knights call for an end to this madness. We shall halt all immigration from non-white nations and use the U.S. Army to restore integrity to our borders. The Negro Problem. The Klan is strongly opposed to the insane policies that discriminate against white people in favor of unqualified and lazy niggers. We shall abolish affirmative action and minority quota systems. All unqualified blacks will be removed from positions of power and influence in our government. The Klan will launch a massive campaign to liberate our cities from the black gangs that presently terrorize them. The economy. Jewish bankers and Shylocks control the American economy with an iron hand. The American Knights will remove these users from power and restore a constitutional money system. Taxes will be lowered, the corrupt federal system will be smashed, and the foreign buying up of our nation will be halted. The Klan will place trained economists in charge of our economy. What a relief. And punish the Jew tycoons who have brought America to the brink of financial disaster. Relax, everybody. It's almost over. One more to go. And the most facile at that. Foreign policy. The Klan favors a strong foreign policy that closely guards American interests around the world. The Klan will encourage all other white nations to throw off the yoke of Zionist/liberal occupation. All aid to worthless third world nations like Israel will be cut off. The foreign policy of the Klan-led United States will be America first, last, and always. Now, what I forgot to download is a Reuters clip that I got that came over the net just a couple of days ago, warning that the FBI has actually put out a warning that they expect various white supremacist groups around the nation to be plotting some kind of violent or terroristic response around the end of the year, around Y2K, and it's all mixed up with their beliefs about Bible prophecy and so on. Now, if you just if you just read the newspapers and hear what this Jeffrey L. Berry of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan has to say, we are a nonviolent Christian civil rights group. We're supposed to help people. Rodney King said it best. Can't we all just get along? You might think that maybe we are actually looking at a kinder and gentler Ku Klux Klan. And after all, aren't, we have Black History Month. Why shouldn't we have White History Month? I mean, there's people who don't realize. There's people who are justifiably, even in this town, even in New York City, not just out there in Iowa and Indiana, wherever these people came from out of town. There are people who don't get it. Who really, really don't get it. Who are angry for legitimate reasons, but have got entirely the wrong analysis. They understand implicitly that their future is being sold down the river by the globalization of economic power, by NAFTA and GATT and the World Trade Organization. They understand this implicitly. They feel it in their bones. But the analysis that they're getting is that the country has been taken over by Jews and Zionists and leftists, and that white people are being discriminated against. This is the analysis which they're getting. And unless, maybe, the rest of America, everything, say, from the Hudson River to San Francisco Bay, maybe it's too late for the rest of America. But here in New York City, here on our side of the Hudson River, every time these people show their faces here, they have to be massively repudiated. I don't go along with this idea of just, ignore them and they'll go away. I think that's extremely wrong-headed. I'd be interested in what you, the listener, has to say about it here at 209-2900. But if they aren't repudiated every time they show their faces, or not show their faces, as the case may be, if they get away with wearing their masks in this town, then, they begin to establish a foothold. They begin to establish a presence. They begin to develop cells in various neighborhoods around the city where there are hardworking, working-class white people who are legitimately angry but are getting the wrong analysis. And then they begin to infiltrate the NYPD, as if we don't already have enough problems with the NYPD. And then, it's Greensboro, 1979, if you know what I mean. Once they establish a foothold, they become an extremely virulent virus. So I was extremely heartened to see that they were outnumbered by several hundred to one on Saturday at Foley Square. And I don't think that the city has got any business telling them that they can't march. And I think that people who would go along with the city telling them that they can't march are wrong on two counts. The first count is that you're making a noose for your own neck. Like, some of the people who were actually out there repudiating the Klan on Saturday were chanting, "No free speech for racists." And, I couldn't quite go along with that. Any time that you say no free speech for anybody, you're making a noose for your own neck. You're inviting Giuliani and the NYPD to come along and say, well, these people who march against police brutality, as they call it, aren't they just racist against the police? Which doesn't make any sense, of course, because the police aren't a racial group. But nonetheless, such comments have been made. And such arguments will be made. Such arguments will be made in the courts and in the media. So you're making a noose for your own neck if you say no free speech for anybody. Racist, fascist, the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazi Party, anybody. That's one level on which it's wrong. The second level on which it's wrong, and this is really the more important point, is that it's an abdication. It's an abdication of responsibility, of the citizenry, the responsibility of you and me and our friends and our families and our neighbors and our co-workers to get out there and to say unequivocally that New York City wants nothing to do with hate mongers, wants nothing to do with the Ku Klux Klan. It's our responsibility to get out in the street as the inhabitants of this town and to tell these people to go back to Indiana. And if we cede that responsibility to the police and to the courts and to Gracie Mansion, then paradoxically, the Klan can claim that they're victims. And they can claim that they're persecuted. And they can actually begin to accrue more support. So I think that Sharpton did the right thing by filing an amicus brief on behalf of the Klan's right to march and in getting out in the street and mobilizing people to get out into the street to repudiate them. Well, we have two calls. That's a start. 209-2900. I gotta wait until there's more than two calls. What else? This is very interesting. The NYPD predictably exploited this whole affair to expand their surveillance capabilities. This was in Newsday yesterday. The police department set up a live video and audio feed of Saturday's Ku Klux Klan demonstration and counter-protest in Lower Manhattan, raising questions about whether the practice violated intelligence gathering guidelines. Police officials set up a microphone and cameras on a light pole adjacent to the soundstage for an anti-Klan demonstration near the state Supreme Courthouse at 60 Center Street. The equipment and a satellite truck stationed nearby provided a live video and audio feed to police headquarters, said department spokeswoman Marilyn Mode. She said the feed, viewed by Police Commissioner Howard Safer and other department officials, was a necessary part of policing the event and has been used at other demonstrations. But a civil liberties group yesterday questioned whether the practice violated the Handshoe Agreement, a 1984 court order that set guidelines for police investigations of political protest. The agreement covers rules for videotaping demonstrations and other gatherings. Was it just a live feed, or was it video surveillance to produce a tape? Asked Norman Siegel, executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. If there was a video produced, then it could be a violation of the Handshoe Agreement. Mode of the police department said she doesn't know if the department produced a videotape, likely story, of the feed, but insisted that there were no violations of the Handshoe guidelines. And the Handshoe case, I should say, was brought by a number of activists. I just got this information from Norman Siegel this morning on the phone. Was brought by a number of activists, including one Barbara Handshoe and Abby Hoffman, back in the 1980s to attempt to address the routine surveillance by the NYPD Red Squad, which was going on at that and had been going on for the Handshoe Commission, or Handshoe Authority, actually, to adjudicate these questions. A certain guidelines which came out of the agreement and an authority to oversee if police practices were in touch with the guidelines. And the authority consists of two deputy police commissioners and a civilian who was appointed by the mayor. And I would assume that the incumbent was appointed by Giuliani. Siegel said the police department had argued before that live feeds do not constitute a violation of the guidelines, but that hasn't been tested because no one has complained to the Hancho Authority about the practice. The authority is a city panel that oversees how the police gather intelligence. If the police department does not publicly explain what types of surveillance were used at Saturday's protests, then we may write to the Hancho Authority to see if there were violations, Siegel said. Under the guidelines, police can videotape a demonstration if a reasonable belief exists that criminal activity and/or arrest will occur. However, to videotape an event, police officers must request approval in writing from the chief of department, and a copy must be sent to the Hancho Authority for review. Videotaping must be done by uniformed or identifiable police personnel, the guidelines say. The Civil Liberties Union last year asked the panel to investigate whether a police officer broke the intelligence gathering guidelines by attending a NYCLU press conference in plain clothes without identifying himself. And there were also two other instances, being the last year's Million Youth March, the 1998 Million Youth March up in Harlem, and this April's march over the Brooklyn Bridge in protest of police brutality. Those are also issues where the police similarly did a simulcast, a live feed to One Police Plaza, and it's uncertain if they kept a copy for themselves. And of course, with digital technology today, it's much easier for them to do so. All right, now I think we have enough phone calls to justify taking a few. 209-2900, once again, is the number. And, and once again, I just want to preface that, you know, for all the time that we spend talking about these far-off places around the world on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, like Kosovo and Bosnia and Nagaland, again, you know, I mean, yeah, we're genuinely concerned about the people in those parts of the world, victims of ethnic cleansing, because they deserve human solidarity in their own right. But also, the more perhaps profound issue is that it can happen here. It can happen here. And I would say, and because I've heard this from friends of mine who are actually from the region, that the United States is about at the place where Yugoslavia was in the late 1980s. Maybe things haven't gotten that bad economically. But in terms of the level of debate, and for some people, they have gotten that bad economically. So, with that, WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm listening for some time about people rant and rave about the Klan protesting. You know, I read there. I mean, I listened to you read, you know, what is kind of their manifesto, and I kind of don't have a problem with it. I do have a problem with those who have those points of view in power who we can't see. This show of this type of belief really kind of isn't a problem. It's their right. It's everybody's right to be able to do it.
Oh, I didn't contest that, did I?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that you did. It seems to be the thrust for the ranting, because to do a counter, we'd be countering... What would we be countering? Their point of view. I find the point of view common. I find it common in policy. I find it common in media.
Isn't that all the more reason to repudiate it?
It seems to be repudiated more when it has this type of, I guess, overt showing. Because I hear more people complaining about this than they would what I consider more subtle versions of it.
Well, that was sort of the point that I was trying to make by reading, you know, this quote where this imperial dragon jerk, you know, tries to come off like Mr. Sensitive New Age guy.
Okay.
You know?
I think I missed up that last part of it.
Oh, well, I mean, didn't you hear what he says? He quotes Rodney King, can't we all just get along, and we're a nonviolent white civil rights group, and blah, blah, blah.
Because listening to it, I mean, we all have to see the absurdity of the philosophy. I mean, it is so absurd. It knows nothing about history of its own group, of its own group of people.
Yeah,
it states the United States as being extremely violent.
Yeah, right. Don't you love that one? The United history. States is the most violent country on the face of the earth. So many countries are being torn apart by war around this planet, and they say that. And the other great line was, you know, what was that? Something about, you know, our white ancestors who built this country from scratch. Give me a break.
And that's what, I mean, I do feel a tinge of sorrow for their complete
ignorance,
disconnection.
Absolutely.
From reality.
I know.
You know, and
I
think that hypothetically, if they were to remove all of the people that they want to remove, they'd implode. Because the mindset that they are harboring needs victims.
That's right.
It needs a lower class of something to perpetuate its own righteousness.
That's right. And that, you know, that's what fascism is all about.
It is completely ridiculous. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I'm more voicing the opinion that I have been over the past couple of days about people. I mean, I've seen such a show of emotion and discord about, you know, the Klan marching. And to me, big deal. If I had the time, I would have been out there just observing, just to see, you know, the ignorance on parade. It's like, I mean, we have the Puerto Rican Day Parade, we have the Caribbean Day Parade.
So let's have the ignorance
And now we
parade.
Have an Ignorance Day Parade. Let's go and enjoy the ignorance and take the steps.
Well, look.
To chant it down in the places where it's secret. Because what I like about this government is that it's easy to point out the Klan. Let's point out the guys in the government who make the policy, who have those same points of view.
I agree
that
completely.
My life.
I agree completely.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. I just needed to see.
And, you know, I mean, it's a spectrum. I mean, it's just in the news today that Buchanan just left the Republican Party to run on the reform ticket. And
I think he feels he'll have more power to do what he feels he needs to do in this same Klan-like fashion.
Right. But, you know, he was within the Republican tent for a long, long time. And there's a lot of people in the Republican Party who sort of tilt in his direction. And he, you know, has got one foot in the militia movement, which in turn has got one foot in the Klan. Right, exactly. So it's a spectrum.
Right,
and you
right,
can
right.
you
it
just
really
you can just follow that spectrum right on up to, you know, the corridors of power.
Right.
Now, we're already arguably living in a police state in this country, given the way that the Bill of Rights is routinely trampled. I mean, there are some people who wouldn't agree. Some people would say, oh, you're a total extremist, blah, 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 blah,
just
blah.
Look at Giuliani.
But, I mean,
going to court over things that we have a right to do. What is that about?
Yeah.
And that's right in our faces. And
right.
that's not like some remote history. That's contemporarily, and I'm talking about in weeks and months. So if he, knowing that, being a lawyer, quote-unquote, he should know better, how does he, in his sane or insane mind, take on these cases? There's got to be something else going on.
Well, you see, but the thing is that you still do have a certain amount of redress through the courts, which is why, you know, which is why the most obnoxious form of police state hasn't arrived yet. But, you know, most cases of police abuse don't make it to court. And when
right.
you've got the NYPD has actually established a special squad to be on hand 24 hours a day to fix doors that the police knock down of private apartments.
That lets you know.
Exactly, right. And most of the time, you know, or frequently, they don't have warrants for these apartments where we were no-knock raids, where they just knock down the door with a battering ram and just charge on in and terrorize a family.
Right.
All right. Frequently, you know, they don't have a warrant, or they get the address wrong on the warrant. They're at some completely innocent apartment. Okay, when you've got this kind of thing going on in New York City and around the rest of the country, for that matter, as far as I'm concerned, you're living in a police state.
I
now, fascism, on the other hand, has not arrived yet. After we go into a significant period of economic decline, and people like the Klan and the militia movement are overtly cut in. In a share in running the country, particularly at a local level, by the people who are really in power, by the corporate state, then we will have arrived at some kind of American variant on fascism.
Well, I agree.
And we have to make sure that day doesn't come.
Well, that's what the fight is about. But one thing, if the police knocking down the doors reminds me of one thing. I'm a comic book fan. I read comics.
Uh-huh.
Some genius of comics actually created a comic book where all of the buildings and the destruction that superheroes create supposedly for the good of mankind. A corporation, a company, was set up by a philanthropist who went around the city taking the contracts to rebuild it after they destroyed it, saving it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What comic book was that? I think I...
I can't remember the name of it. You know, it was kind of remote, but conceptually it sounds the same.
So what's the analogy here? Forgive me.
Well, it's the same thing as the police needing an additional force to come in and repair all the damage that
right,
they do
right,
supposedly
right, exactly.
For the good.
Yeah, right. Supposedly for the good, right.
You know,
to prevent
like
people
Superman
from...
Superman is such a great hero. But he leaves the building through the roof.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he...
What, so you mean that what Metropolis had to establish a special agency to clean up after Superman?
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to move on to the next call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Care.
WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I was just listening to your conversation. Let me lower my radio.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Sorry. Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I've been listening to your conversation. I was also listening to the manifesto that you were reading when the show started. And even though I can kind of understand where you're coming from. Hello?
Yep.
I can kind of understand where you're coming from. I think your premise is that if people are allowed if everyone's allowed to speak their opinions or their perspective, that when people get to see, you know, what the Klan's perspective is really about, that you know, people will stand up and look to go against it and expose it for what it is.
Well, I'm saying that we have a responsibility to do that.
Well, you're saying that we have a responsibility just to display from what they're about and give people an opportunity to see what they're about?
So no, we have a responsibility every time that they show their faces or not show their faces if they're wearing masks in this town. We have a responsibility to get out in large numbers and repudiate them and make the point that the citizens of New York, you know, are utterly opposed to everything that they represent and that they're on hostile turf and they're not welcome here and they should go back to Indiana.
Right, that's exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I understand clearly. Well, I guess what my problem with that is that, looking back over the last 40 years, you know, I've only been here for 40 years myself, so I can only speak for those 40 years. Do you really think that people are doing that? Do you think people are taking on that kind of responsibility?
Well, they did on Saturday.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I mean, do you really feel that the influence of the Klan and the white supremacists in this country is not as pervasive or probably more so than it's ever been since the beginning of this country through government, city government, state government, federal government, through the police department, through the various agencies, through the media,
mm-hmm.
through employment practices?
The radical right is in a period of resurgence right now, absolutely.
You really think so?
Of course it is.
How do you get to that conclusion? How do you come to that?
How do I come to that?
I mean, really, you just told me that the radical right is in a resurgence and that it's making a comeback.
What's the last time that the Ku Klux Klan marched in New York City? What happened in Oklahoma City on April 19th, 1995?
Oh, you're talking about the
explosion of the federal
right.
building?
Yeah,
right.
The federal building
right.
explosion.
Right. 10 years ago, were there these militia movements arming all over middle America, all over rural America?
Probably.
No. 10 years ago? Not like there are now. Not nearly in the same numbers that there are now.
I don't think maybe perhaps there were as in the press and as publicized as maybe perhaps back then, but I would...
It's a much bigger movement now. It's a much bigger movement now. Is the inmate population in our prisons at an all-time high?
It's exploding.
It's exploding, right.
Right. So where's the left in all this?
Where is the left in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Marginalized?
I mean, you're talking about that the responsibility of the left or responsibility of at least decent-minded people will
right.
will make a stand and make a move to to fight back.
As they did on Saturday. I mean, Saturday was a real glimmer of hope. I was very, very glad that the Klan was outnumbered by several hundred to one.
I really don't see how rallies and exhibitions like that. I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, that's great. But I'm looking for concrete change.
We all
are.
Change.
I mean, yeah. Exactly.
There aren't any easy answers.
That's exactly my point. You speak about responsibility as though it's an easy answer. That's not an easy answer. Matter of fact, that's an answer that's probably not exactly working right now.
Well,
that's my position.
Yeah, but it's starting point. If you don't acknowledge your responsibility, then you can't even begin to have the discussion of what is to be done, so to speak.
I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at is that I think that the left is losing ground rapidly.
I agree.
Yeah, and so if you're saying that, okay, we're losing a lot of ground, but we should allow hate speech to just grow and proliferate.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, it's going to. I mean, because if the left is being marginalized and the left is not taking a stand.
All right. So what are you suggesting?
Well, no. Before we get to what I suggest, what I'm saying is that if in fact what you're suggesting that people do and to fight back are not doing that. They're basically dropping their responsibilities in terms of fighting back and taking a stand and creating a movement. Then what's happening is that that pulpit, that stand that people will speak from will be taken over by the right.
That's exactly what's happening. That is very much what is happening in this country.
That's exactly what's
happening. That's exactly what Pat Buchanan is all about.
Exactly.
And a lot of what Pat Buchanan says, sounds good. When he talks about opposition to NAFTA and the global economy and how America should be a republic rather than an empire, I agree with all that. It all sounds great.
So
but then he mixes it up with all of the, anti-immigrant stuff and the xenophobia and the whole
right.
reactionary social
is.
Agenda. And that's exactly right. The left has dropped the populist ball.
Right.
And the radical right is picking it up.
Exactly, because that's who they are.
All right, so what are we arguing about?
And they're much more organized. So here we are. They're organized. We're disorganized. We're not making any stand. We're making meager attempts to try and stop their momentum. So as an emergency, and I think I consider that we're approaching an emergency in this country.
I agree.
What do you suggest we do? Do you suggest that we continue to give these people a free ticket to speak and organize to even greater numbers? Or do we at least... And I call this, again, an emergency situation where you say, listen, we can't allow this kind of talk. We cannot allow this kind of speech. They're gonna totally out-organize us. They're going to they're gonna corner us at every corner.
I really think that censorship is counterproductive.
I understand. I heard your position.
Yeah.
I heard your position. But, I mean, because you're coming from a point of view that somewhere down the line the left is going to take advantage of the free speech that we have in our rights and in our lives. And take full use of it and do something with it. But if that's not going to happen,
do you really
you
trust?
Know what's going to happen? The opposite is going to happen.
Listen.
Just respond to what I'm saying.
I'm trying to.
Specifically to what I'm saying.
All right, hang on a minute. It's 1:00 in New York City on WBAI 99.5 FM. This is the Marsh Orthodox Radio Crusade, and we're taking phone calls about the Ku Klux Klan and the whole debacle that we just witnessed over this over this past weekend. And I'm just trying to point to obviously we're in a very, very dire situation. The mere fact that the Klan has got enough chutzpah to come to this city at this juncture in time indicates that we're in a very, very dire situation in this country. But I consider the fact that there were thousands of people out there repudiating them to be a glimmer of hope, don't you?
A glimmer? I don't know. If you want to look at it from a plus and minus, the plus is we have a minor plus that a couple thousand people showed up.
More than a couple.
Okay, 10,000.
Yeah, I think it was more like 10,000.
Okay, great, 50,000. I mean, that would be super.
Okay,
50, let's say 50,000. Right,
you're leading to a
up.
But. You're leading to a but.
Of course I am.
So what's the but? Because I got a lot of other calls.
Okay, I know you do, but I want to make my point clear.
Please do, please do.
Is that you have a plus and a minus here. They are moving on momentum of having unlimited free speech, hate speech, on the media, through out on the streets, and every corner that you see, they're going to be there, and they're going to be organizing and out-organizing us at every turn. So I'm just saying is that you can't continue to have major losses in this one area where they're totally out organizing us and having these little pluses of having good rallies here and there.
All right, can I pose a question to you? Do you trust Giuliani and the NYPD to protect you from the Klan?
No, I don't whatsoever.
All right, well, it doesn't sound like we disagree on much then.
Because they probably have Klan members on the police force. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there's a history of that in various counties across this country where you have police
definitely
officers that are part of the Klan.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about that.
So what do we disagree on? It doesn't sound like we disagree about anything.
We do. I disagree on giving a pulpit, giving a state, you know, a podium to that kind of it's almost like an avalanche of hate speech coming out over AM radio, coming out over television, coming out. I mean, in
okay, but what would you do? I mean, you say you're against giving them a forum on principle, but what would you concretely do in the real world to counter them?
If I had the power, what would I do?
No, I'm asking you, given the power that you do have, what do you suggest?
Well, that's different.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, exactly.
Because I'm talking about the real world here.
Okay, well, coming from a disempowered state of being, okay, great. What would I do? I would suggest and I would vote against any candidate that would give hate speech a pulpit, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we're in a position where we can afford to have...
All right, well, we're going to have to just agree to disagree. I think that I understand what you're saying, but I think that ultimately it's counterproductive. They're going to claim that they're victims and they're persecuted, and it's going to make them look good, and it's going to give them more appeal when they say that they're, you know, suffering under these fascist tyrants, blah, blah, blah,
but
blah,
if,
blah.
Okay, but again, if you see them and you understand that they're winning this fight, are you prepared to allow them to continue to organize on that level? Is that what that's what you're saying?
I'm saying that it is the responsibility of the people, not the government, to repudiate them.
I understand this, but are we winning this fight this way? Is this a strategy that you think is going to win, that is going to actually turn the tide? Do you believe this?
I think it's the only strategy which has the potential to turn the tide.
Even though it's not working.
That's correct. Well, and it's working to a degree. Okay, it's working to a degree.
That doesn't sound very confident.
But I think, you know, the alternative is of relying, and the only alternative is, okay, relying on the police and the politicians to protect us is not going to work. That is not going
to
work.
But I'm trying to. If you want to slow down the momentum, because I'm looking at it from the point of view that we're not going to win this fight as it stands now. We're not going to win this fight.
Keep listening, okay?
You may believe that, but there's no signs that I see.
I'm sorry that you feel so demoralized. I really am. Listen, we got a lot more calls. Your point is taken.
Okay.
Okay, thank
great
you.
Show.
Thank you. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I'd like to commend to your reading the 1954 Supreme Court decision called Beauharnais versus Illinois, in which hate speech was likened to group libel, and approved an ordinance or a statute in the state of Illinois in which a gentleman who was putting out flyers with hate speech against blacks in it was convicted under the ordinance, and the Supreme Court said it could stick. I'd also like to commend to your attention the fact that countries like Canada, France, Holland, Germany have hate speech ordinances, and I'd wonder whether anybody can show that they're any less of a democracy than we are.
Well, arguably, I think that you can show that. And certainly, well, not in the case of Canada, although Canada itself has got its extreme right, but France certainly does. France has got Jean-Marie Le Pen. And what were some of the other countries that you mentioned?
Germany, France,
Germany,
Holland, and
where the neo-Nazis are totally resurgent, and you saw the pogrom at Rostock a couple of years ago.
Well, I never said that ordinances and statutes keep you from being obnoxious or whatever, but I think that control of that kind of thing and in fact, in terms of the Beauharnais decision in 1954 in our U.S. Supreme Court, likening those kinds of statutes to equivalent to a group libel statute, I think it's a way of looking at it. The Giuliani's approach, for instance, to his unconstitutional behavior does not fit that category. He's not being libeled. He may be being made fun of, but he's not being libeled. And I think there's a difference in terms of the Barnes approach, the Barnes case approach, in which the Supreme Court said that anti-black statements that were made in that flyer being handed out constituted a criminal form of group libel.
Where are you calling from?
From Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. The People's Republic of.
All right, keep listening.
Right.
Thank
I
you.
Will.
WBAI.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
You know, I've been listening to what you've been saying for the last 10 minutes. And you know, since World War II, something's been happening in this country, let's say to small-town America, where you might find some of the, like, the rednecks or many rednecks in the right wing and the militia type and all that. And this is what I've noticed in traveling around, not the whole country, but quite a few small towns, is that the small-town culture is basically dead in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where there was kind of a vibrancy to these small towns and cities and villages, that's gone. And a lot of these people, it's so boring and dead, a lot of these people, young people, are leaving for the big cities.
And economic activity has shifted from small privately owned businesses in the center of town, where there's a public square and some kind of a sense of community, to the edge cities, where everything is in this insulated corporate environment. And that, you know, has to do with the globalization of the economy as well. Everything's in the control of these, you know, big distant corporations. And that's why there's a lot of desperation out there in middle America.
That's
and
right.
That's why you're seeing things like Columbine and Oklahoma City.
That's
but,
right.
You know, but the response, you know, of course, is not going to be to, you know, to bring back some kind of a localized economy and sense of community and public space and all that. No, the response instead is going to be to move towards a theocracy and to put prayer in school and to make the police state even worse and metal detectors all over the place and video surveillance. So, yeah.
What I wanted to say was a lot of these people own leadership. A lot of their own leaders who have economic control in these regions around this country are actually the ones who are undermining their own cultures, their own small-town cultures. I don't know if they realize that or not.
You mean the ones who were inviting in Kmart and so on?
Well, you know, yeah, right, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got a lot
and
of
now that. We have Kmart right on St. Mark's Place in New York City.
Right. You know, I knew when I had a couple of girlfriends upstate in a small town, and there was I met this couple one time. They were nice people, and they had a small, like a hog farm, and they used to be like a local supplier to the, you know, supermarket or whatever. And some larger corporate entity in Pennsylvania just put them right out of business, overproducing and price-wise undercutting them. And then, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of that. Corporate America is driving a lot of these small businesses out. I think small businesses are necessary. And, you know, but I think that's a lot. That's part of it. You know, these people are like, they're forced to do like what a lot of other people do to survive.
Right. And they're, like I say, they're angry for justifiable reasons, but they're getting dead wrong analysis.
Yeah, you know,
right.
I met this guy the other day who seriously believes from, I don't know, Indiana someplace, believes, it needs to be popular with that, still believe that the UN, UN troops are going to take over
the United States.
I can't believe, you know, there's nothing factual behind that kind of belief. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I'll hang up.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. WBAI.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't like the attitude on the show because, you know, the problem is this, is that you guys go down and you let the KKK march, but you go down and you yell at them. And the thing is that their goals are the same as yours. They hate you. But the reason why they hate you is because their emotions are misdirected, because they can't go after the big corporations. A misdirection their emotions into hate. If you guys would go up there instead of like going up and yelling at them and screaming at them, tell them, hey, look, your concerns are the same as mine. It's like the Mamiya thing. like Momia, everybody's yelling at the cops and screaming at the cops. Go up and tell them, hey, look, you know something?
All right, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. There are, look, I spent a lot of time.
Let me finish my one thing and then I'll let you.
Go ahead.
Please.
I got a lot of calls, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, it's like with the Momia thing. Well, if you go to the cops and you say, look, we want to free Momia because, number one is, they have the wrong person. And you guys should be concerned about that because they're not persecuting.
Right. We've heard those arguments. Listen.
Okay, go ahead.
There are certain elements, even in the militia movement, all right? And I've spent a certain amount of time, you know, traveling, writing on assignment for various newspapers and magazines out there in middle America, hanging out with, you know, real, you know, pretty militant redneck types, okay? So I've got a pretty good sense of the spectrum of opinion which exists within the militia movement, right? And there are elements even within the militia movement who they aren't so far gone that you can't dialogue with them. You know, they do have this, you know, localist, populist kind of appeal, and they are against corporate power, and they're against the police state, they're against the government overreach. And there are certain things which you're going to disagree with them on, like abortion and the certain areas where, you're going to have to agree to disagree, but there's still a certain amount of common ground there for dialogue. If you're open and honest about what your differences are, because you can't gloss over important differences, okay, but there are other elements out there which are so far gone and so completely beholden to an evil agenda that there is no dialogue with them, that you legitimize fascism and you legitimize violence by even talking to them, and that the only appropriate response is repudiation. And when you're talking about people who wear white sheets, that is the case.
But I think those people are in the minority compared to the other people.
Yeah, but those are the people that we're talking about.
Who you can dialogue with.
Well, I hope that you're right, but we're talking about the people who wear white sheets.
I understand, but the people who wear white sheets are like that because their emotions are being misdirected.
I agree, but once they put on the white sheet, you cannot dialogue with them until they take off the white sheet and say, I was wrong. I was real wrong. Maybe there's a possibility for dialogue.
I disagree with
that. Well, you're entitled to disagree. We're going to move on.
Goodbye.
WBAI.
Hey, excellent discussion.
Thank you.
What was very instructive, let me turn this down, was very instructive was hearing the fellow who was talking about the notion that, yes, I want to restrict hate speech, I guess it was, about the longer call you had right at the top of the hour. Was that it wasn't really acknowledging that that's exactly the sort of speech that is dominant in the society today. The speech of intolerance by people like Giuliani. The speech of intolerance by corporations. And I didn't hear him calling for using those very laws for stopping those people from speaking. Not that I side with his point. I just thought that was a very curious side effect of what he's recommending. That the very thing he was recommending.
Well, maybe he would. Maybe he would call for using the laws against Giuliani. But it seems to me what he's failing to take into account is that, you know, state power in this country actually does lie with people like Giuliani. And the left, as we've been bemoaning and crying in our beer for all these years, is completely marginalized. I mean, that's the basic reality which he's failing to grapple with.
Yeah, what he wasn't recognizing was the notion that once you give a group the authority to decide what is permissible speech, then they're the only ones who decide, and it's used against anybody who they disapprove of.
Mm-hmm.
I side with Brennan, and I am largely an absolutist around the issue of the First Amendment. It raises very serious, very troubling issues. But as you point out, the only way to do that is either through additional discussion or with blatant examples of hatred, pure repudiation. You got to go to that.
Good.
So thanks so much for the discussion.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
WBAI.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Anyway, free speech is a lot more entertaining than no free speech. You go other places and listen to their talk radio and stuff. It's very repressed. And it's much deeper in terms of complexity. It's hard to deal with, but like the gentleman before me said, if the minute you start trying to make decisions as to what shouldn't be said, you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an interesting free speech story and also a political Machiavellian tactic that I'd like to get out as quickly as possible. If I can't do both, I'll do both. I heard Dennis
Bernstein.
All
right, quick.
I'll be right.
Concise,
talk,
please.
I talk very fast.
Go.
Dennis Bernstein on the Bob Grant Show, KPF, Cave was having those problems, and he extols Bob Grant as a hero of free speech, as well as William F. Buckley. That's sort of an irony of something which is beyond me, and it's on tape if you ever want to hear it. Also, my Machiavellian political tactic is to vote for Giuliani for Senate, because there he will be absorbed and denatured, because he will not be able to become Attorney General in the Bush administration.
Yeah, no,
he will
no longer
be mayor of New York City. He will be a political Republican, and he will be totally anonymous. Whereas as a mayor of New York City, he's available.
He'll still get the vote on national legislation. All right, I see your point, though.
It's really worth it.
Thanks.
Something to think about.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to say to the previous caller, if he's still listening, who advocates dialogue with people who wear white sheets, I mean, spend some time in a library, man. Read some history. You obviously don't know your history. Find out what the Ku Klux Klan really is and what they represent. All right? Please do yourself a favor. Spend some time in a library. Read about what happened in Greensboro, North Carolina in 1979. Read about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1923. Okay? Find out how much blood these people have on their hands. Find out how many children they've killed. WBAI.
Well, you're touching on a lot. So did you, Treece Lee, this afternoon. The key word seems to be here, corporate power, although the Klan wants to blame it on the Jewish bankers. Where have I heard that one before? I think it was an article I read in 1980 in Our Town magazine concerning a much more powerful force than a bunch of white sheet wearers.
What is that a reference to?
Well, it was a man who spoke about his concerns about Kosovo in 1988, as a matter of fact.
Oh, in 88.
A paper called Bretton Woods.
Yeah.
I believe he resides in Columbus Circle, but he's all over. The thing that I get concerned about is there was a time that I ate McDonald's before they started selling the McBagel. There was a time that I ate Aunt Jemima corn maple syrup. It's really corn syrup. And when I see my fellow brothers and sisters, my comrades, doth protesting with a blimpies for the freedom of Mamiya Abu Jamal, I get nervous, because I see people saying, rah, 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 we've got to stop all this horrible thing, and then I see them investing in the very thing that wants to do them in.
And I also know all of these self-righteous vegetarians who think that they're too good for political protest and don't want to get out in the streets.
I am one of those self-righeous vegetarians who does walk the walk.
And well,
I'm,
good.
I'm agreeing with you on a lot.
All right.
Here's my frustration.
I don't eat a McDonald's, okay?
Listen, at the same time, I have also met some vegetarians who have been around me, who said that they don't want to hurt the animals, but when it comes to torturing political prisoners, they don't want to get political.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Exactly. So I'm not your enemy on this. Believe me, I am agreeing with you, and I don't want to be one of these people who's left, right, left, or whatever, divide and conquer, because it is true that the left has always undone itself by arguing too much about what their agendas are. I think Frank Zappa even said you have to know what your revolution's about. I'll give you another example. One of my best friends, who I am so thankful that I met in my life, my short, ignorant life, grew up in Nazi Germany as a Hitler youth. Okay? And she is a beautiful human being, and she lives in Indiana the last time.
Well, I'm glad she got over
it. Well, some family took her. Now, when she was living here in New York, we went to a restaurant in New York that no longer exists, and we watched a woman who I thought was my friend, who was a very powerful spy, and she knows who she is. And my friend, who grew up in Nazi Germany, met this woman who's a German-American, who represents one of these enemies that I, Bretton Woods, that I'm telling you about. And she watched her, and she said, "I do not like that woman." And I said, "Why?" She said, "I know that type." And she didn't want to get specific, but she grew up, she was a Hitler youth. She was taught to fear the Jews, the same way that many of my brothers and sisters here were told to fear black people.
So the danger comes when you start saying, okay, yeah, bring down the Klan, bring down the Klan. Well, how much you want to bet that some of those people who were also there protesting, which I didn't go to, but I did go to BAI the next day.
Yeah.
How many didn't you want to make a bet that some of those people might have even been dressed in black makeup and wearing fake dreadlocks and yarmulkes? Because they're all around, and it didn't just start, and it has been going on.
Fake dreadlocks and yarmulkes?
Oh, fake dreadlocks, brown makeup, brown body makeup.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
all right, we're going
to
move on, man.
94. Bye.
WBAI.
Oh, I just wanted to say in terms of that last caller that you have to do his homework, that sometimes, you know, the noblest ideas, and being an anarchist, you always know that there's going to be those that don't exactly think exactly, but that, you know, 50-50% chance that a lot of the noblest ideas will be misunderstood, but still that the people get out there and, you know, you just have to take that into consideration. You know, the rowdies have to work things out for themselves too. You know what I mean?
The rowdies have to, which rowdies?
I'm just saying that he was talking about how, you know, people get very angry and start spewing hatred upon hateful people, and that just, but that's always, in a lot of movements, we always had to take in consideration that there is going to be that raw emotion sometimes, but
well, you don't think that there's any percentage in attempting to dialogue with people who wear white sheets, do you?
No, I'm saying that if he's complaining about the behavior of some people, or the people that say, I'll kill anybody that hurts an animal, I mean, it is not necessarily correct, but that's not to judge the whole movement taking that step forward. You always have to take in consideration there's going to be brothers and sisters that don't quite understand either, right?
Right.
Something like that. Okay, thank you for the
okay.
show.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye. WBAI. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. About the Spanish Civil War?
Right.
Sure. That's going to be on October 30th, 1 to 5 p.m.
October 30th, 1 to 5.
At Hudson County Community College. Up at the fourth floor conference room. And if you want more information, call 979-8353.
Is that a 212 number?
That's a 212 number.
Okay.
Okay. No pasarán.
Okay.
It's my message to those guys in the white dunce caps. No pasarán.
Okay.
Do we have
Thank
time for
you.
One?
How does one get involved in your program?
By calling.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
WBAI. Yeah, we don't have much time, so make it concise.
You got it. I wanted to agree somewhat with the fellow who spoke earlier. I'm black, and my fear is pretty much, and my hatred is with police departments in this city and around the country, many of the courts, many of the judges. There are many people in these, who I just mentioned, who have the same mentality of the Klan, and they're in a position to do me harm. And what they do is they tell me, go out there. Yeah, the Klan's no good. The Klan is no good, but they have the same mentality. So, you know, those are the ones to watch. The judges, the court officers, the, like I said, the politicians, like a Giuliani.
Right, yeah. Well, that was my point, that, you know, it's the people's responsibility to repudiate the organized Nazi, fascist, racist right. And we cannot, it's counterproductive, ultimately, to cede that responsibility to the bureaucrats and the police and the courts.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We don't have time for any more calls. Wish we did. But thanks to everybody who called in. You're all great. And this has been the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for Weaponry coming up next, and join us next week for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with Anne-Marie Hendrickson. I will be out of town. Until then, once again, Salam Aleichem. Get a chunk full of nuts with that creature out of luck. I'll kick his scalp.